You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And now I have got the wonderful Barney here from Mimic Sound. How are you doing, Barney?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing well.
Nice. Could you give us a bit... So Mimic Sound is a new thing, but could you give us a bit of a rundown for the audience's sake of what Mimic Sound is, what the label is, or even maybe a little bit about yourself too?
Yeah, so I've run a couple parties under the name, and those were just an attempt to get some of my friends down, have an excuse to get some of my friends down from Tamaki.
Yeah.
I threw one party, and the first one was my friends Neve now, Neve and Gristle, who are involved with Placeholder, which is a sound system up in Tamaki, and some other parties up there. And then I threw another party, and that had Falsk down, who's another artist from up there. And on those lineups were a bunch of my mates who live down here in Otatahi. And then the label itself is, again, just an excuse to release some of my mates' tracks. And along, like, I think at first I started out with having some grand ambitions, but eventually I just kind of realized that that's all a bit hard to uphold, so I've decided to just just use it simply as a way to get people's music out there and fund the mastering and all that sort of stuff for them, and then hopefully make money from that so that I can then feed it back into it and just have an endless cycle of having funding to put friends' music out into the world.
Yeah, dope.
And all they have to worry about is making the art.
And doing this kind of curating role, is that something that you've done before in music?
Yeah, so I worked on RDU. Well, I volunteered for RDU for a little bit doing the green room. I was there for about a year, and that really, like, I'd say drove or like ignited the passion that I had for underground artists here in Aotearoa. And I'd say that that was a real driving factor for hunting out music that I wanted to play, because it's one thing to have a taste in electronic music. There's so many niches, and I've ended up finding a niche that I really like, and then trying to find stuff from artists from our home country has been a really rewarding process. And so that's sort of, I've forgotten the question that you asked now, but that's sort of
what got you into
the background and curation that I had. I was just hunting for music that I liked and I could play on the radio. And so that led me to discover a bunch of different people.
Yeah, I feel like that's a funny sort of part of, like, when you're doing that more digging role and finding music, especially on the internet, and you find all these kind of, like, amazing different scenes around the world that seem, like, so exciting when you're, like, you know, in Aotearoa, at the bottom of the world, kind of discovering these crazy niches. But then, like, it's funny when you manage to actually look back and be like, oh, holy crud, we've got our own people making, like, all this freaky stuff. Like, there's so many crazy niche genres from around the world. We are that country to those people. You know, everyone else in America is like, just things happening in New Zealand.
It's an interesting thing that I think some people are really good at acknowledging, but a lot of the artists themselves are really good at looking outwards.
Yeah.
And it's not so much of a good thing to do. It's like, there's so much talent here that you could spend a lifetime looking through all the different, like, artists who have been and gone and are currently going, and maybe they're just on the internet and they're not coming out to gigs, and so you're not meeting them. And then also just, like, lots of people who are in the different scenes all around the country that don't necessarily interact. And that was what was really fun about the green room, is that I had a good excuse to dig, but I also had a really good excuse to just, like, do outreach. So there were lots of people who were being put forward by their friends as, like, yeah, this person makes crazy music and you've probably never heard it before. And that was, like, really, that was really fun to have access to for about a year.
Yeah, cool, dope. No, that sounds really, really sick. So onto this Mimic 001 release. What can you tell us about these particular artists? Like, we've had Sano on a show before. I can't remember if it was this show, but another one of the drive shows doing an interview before, and really dug their stuff. But I haven't heard or seen much from Eerie and Falsk and Ridbin as well. Could you tell us a little bit about each of them?
Eerie is me.
Whoa! So plot twist.
That one's my track. And then Ridbin is a homie from Otatahi who has been involved in the party scene down here for ages, and has been making tunes for ages. And that, again, back to the green room, just I asked them for tunes one day, and then that one that's on the release really stuck out as a, like, I just kept on playing it even outside of the radio. I think that was sort of the point with all of those tunes, is it, except my one, that was just the one that I liked that I made. But except for the, you know, all the ones that everyone else made, it was like ones that I'd gotten some way or another, and then I kept on going back to and really enjoying. And I think that that was sort of the key curation point there, was just like, oh, this track's, not only do I love playing it on the radio show where I have to play outdoor music, I love playing this track, and I love hearing this track out, and I really want other people to hear it out. The Falsk track is interesting because that was supposed to be a different one, but he ended up wanting to change it to the one that's on there now, and I really like that track. I like all the, I like a lot of, most of the stuff he makes. All of it, to be honest, is really great. So I was just happy to have one of his on there. And Sano tune, again, yeah, just one that I really enjoyed playing. And I think they're all sort of the other curatory consideration was trying not to make another dubstep label because there's so many of them. I was like, what can I release? I love dubstep and I love all this kind of different music, and how can I want to find the tracks from Aotearoa that really explore the intersections between all those different sounds that I enjoy.
Cool. No,
I feel like all the tracks do that really well.
Yeah. And it's cool to see the kind of expansive sides of a lot of artists when, like, I think, we can sometimes have a bit of a problem of, like, pigeonholing genres and scenes and stuff. And, like, especially, I think, in Aotearoa, like, DIY kind of music between cities, it's going to always be hard to be like, who does that genre? What genre are they from? Or something, you know, because you don't know all the different communities. Actually, maybe about like, communities and genres and gigs and stuff, could you tell us a little bit about the Ohineho or like Ototahi scene at the moment with at least bass music or electronic music in and around these kind of artists or that you've seen and been going to recently?
Yeah, I mean, I moved here from Poneke, and so my like my experience of down here is that it's just completely booming. It's like there's a gig that you could go to every week if you wanted to. Well, that's how it feels. But there's a gig you could go to almost every weekend, and you're going to have a good time, and there's going to be music that you enjoy, and it's going to be across a broad range of different sounds. And I'd say that it's been a pleasure to run parties here. It's been affordable, it's been really well supported, and it's been maybe a little bit more forgiving than I felt it was to run, like, to be involved in parties in Poneke. Like, it's there's lots of people doing it and they're doing it really well, I'm not bashing that, but I think for me it was sort of intimidating because it did seem like a lot of the time, you know, those people were having to have a lot of love for what they were doing, and not necessarily a whole lot of reward. Which, I mean, you know, that happens, and you got to have love for what you're doing. So you can't always expect people to subsidize it. But it was definitely, it's definitely since moving here been really cool to see how much more freedom there is to run parties and how many more people there are who are keen to go to them. I think that's probably a big part of it. And I'd say that would be that would probably that has its sacrifices. It definitely seems like there's less of a band scene here that I know of.
Yeah.
Less of a thriving, maybe a thriving band scene would be a better way to put it.
Mm.
But yeah, it seems like that what exists in Wellington is like a really thriving band scene, exists down here as a really thriving underground electronic music scene.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be just be my ignorance, though.
No,
because so, I don't look for it.
Totally, yeah. And I feel like that is an interesting thing about talking about scenes and cultures, is that there's no, like, right or wrong. Like, you know, there is always cool stuff happening that you don't know about, and there's always, like, cool stuff happening that you do know about, and that's kind of what makes it interesting and exciting being in cities, especially when, like, there's being in a bigger city with more people, obviously, meaning that there's, like, more spaces to, like, look around. More space, but also more people doing random stuff too, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely seems like the funding focus is on electronic music venues down here.
Cool.
Like, there's some just really accessible, really good venues to throw parties in, like Loons and Galaxy Bar and Flux, RIP, and... Yeah, there's so many that you could list off, and there's also a really accessible and keen cohort of people running outdoor parties, which is much different to where I grew up
in
Wanakee. Like, it's just that sort of thing didn't really exist. There's lots of underground raves outdoors, and lots of sound systems.
Yeah,
almost too many sound systems, but there's never too many. So
And for the label Mimic, is this just like a sort of beginning tester, do you have plans for the future? What are you imagining doing with it?
I have loose plans, like releasing more music from my friends and from my internet friends, and maybe I think one of the more solidified ones on the horizon would be, so I want to do a second one of these VAs, and then another VA where I try to reach out to some expats who are living around the globe and involved in different scenes. And, you know, not expats, people who are just whose tunes I've always dug and we've got somewhat of an online relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, just releasing more music and, yeah, just spending time looking for music that I like and I'd wanna promote.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I thought you were about to say spending money. Like, yeah, just spending money. That's pretty much what you do as a label. You just blow
it. I just wanna throw money at things. No, that's not.
Everyone email Mimic's hand really quickly.
Yeah, I just do it. I just got hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend. No, I don't.
Dope.
Don't do that.
But definitely do check out Mimic Sound, at least. Mimic Sound Aotearoa on Bandcamp. Any other like places for people to find it?
I'm considering my options. I was just going to upload it to Bandcamp and Bandcamp and then clips on SoundCloud, but there's a lot of cool new streaming platforms popping up that I'm considering, but I'm not locking in right now.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, the release comes out on May 1st in time for Bandcamp Friday, which means that all of the money will go directly to the artists that I'm putting on and a portion of it to the label, so we can do more in the future and hopefully more parties.
Yeah, sick. Cool.
As it is with releasing music, it's a pretty thankless task. So I'm just happy that people are going to hear it.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing, is I just want people to go listen to these guys and show them some support. And just hopefully they get more opportunities from it.
Cool. Dope. I'm going to check on Folsky with Corkscrew. Cool. Thanks so much for coming along and having a chat with us. I'm very excited to be hooning the rest of it when it's out, but also we're going to check on the radio another track. I might even check on Eerie now that I know that it's you. What's the Eerie track? Can you tell us about that?
It's a bit of a weird one. It's like, I think it's probably the most listening focused tune on the VA, and it's just a weird dub techno number that I had a really good time making, and then it's pretty nerve-wracking. It's probably the hardest part about putting out other people's work, is when your ego is attached to it. That's probably been the hardest part about putting this whole thing out, is like being like, oh yeah,
No, 100%.
I got to do my thing as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cool. Well, a real pleasure to chat to you, Barney, and all the best. I can't wait to hear more. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for having me on.
All good. Sick. Here we go. This is Folsky with Corkscrew here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Stay tuned.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.